Now on Radio 3, we're going to head to another Radio 3 festival. It's time for The Verb, presented by Ian McMillan.
Welcome to The Verb, here at the Sage Gateshead, in front of an audience who, well, listen to this. And this. And this. Yes, that's the sound of the people of the North East thinking freely, because we're here as part of Radio 3's annual cranial jamboree, the Free Thinking Festival. And on tonight's Verb, we've got plenty to think about. We've a brand new story from the great poet and novelist John Burnside. New poetry twinned with old music from Katrina Porteous and Alistair Anderson. Our language spy, Alex Horn, wonders what's in a name. Our thinker in residence, Frank Cottrell Boyce, thinks aloud about reading aloud. And we've Northeast voices raised in song from the mighty Unthanks.
Here's the time to come in, press an old man. Oh dear, he knew, what'll we do then? Here's the time to come in, off the child's bar. Here's the time to come in, full of man of war. Hide the canny hinny, hide the saloon way, hide the till the frigate makes for Druid's Bay. If they take the Geordie, who's to win our bread? Me and little Jackie better off be dead. Here's the tender coming, brassing all the men. Oh dear, Amy, what a weedy then. Here's the tender coming, off the shield's bar. Here's the tender coming, full of man no more. Here's the tender coming, stealing off me dear. Oh dear, hinny, they'll ship you out of here. They will ship you far. With the colours flying, anchor at the what are we given?
Thank you very much. That's Here's the Tender Coming, performed by Rachel and Becky Unthank, Neefa Keegan, Adrian McNally and Chris Price, collectively known as the Unthanks. Now, Rachel, that's a traditional song, but where did you first come across it?
It's kind of one of those songs that's kind of grown up with us, really.
That's what always interests me about your work, that somehow the songs don't seem to have been learnt. They seem to have been songs that you've always known anyway, somehow. That seems the thing. It's about men being forced to go to sea, so it's part of the North East history. Rachel, men aren't being forced to go to sea now, so why? Why does that song still touch everybody in this room today?
Well, I think everybody can relate to kind of those things that affect us all, which is the human condition of love, life and loss, and I think that's a key thing in these songs that makes people kind of be able to connect to them somehow.
Katrina Porteous, this history, I know it's something you've been inspired by, and you must know this song as well.
Yes, I first came across this song, not sung, but recited by an old fisherman who lived in Amble, but he'd grown up in Newbiggin. And he had a lot of stories from his family. He had this personal connection with the press gangs because several generations before, in the early 19th century, fishermen from his family had been taken away forcibly to the Navy.
It also feels to me that somehow a song like this can unlock memories of a previous time, even if you've got no personal connection with that. But what is it about the songs? Why do they do that to us?
I think, for me, it's part of the storytelling that's within them and that we all told stories when we were children, and I think there's something within us all that still loves to be told a story. It certainly is for me and Becky, anyway.
And it just felt to me that somehow songs were what people felt they had to do, to tell each other things. I don't want to sound like a vicar who says, well, there wasn't any Facebook in them days.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what it was. It was a Facebook with nets.
Yeah, with proper nets.
Proper nets, yeah. It was a proper net, wasn't it? It wasn't the internet, it was the fishing net. But that's true, isn't it? Somehow that's the songs are how they told each other things, how they told each other news, I reckon.
Yeah, like when you're kids, you learn from fairy tales. I suppose it's the same kind of thing.
Is that how you feel, Katrina, that idea of the song being the carrier of knowledge somehow, the songs and the poems and the stories?
Certainly the stories. The old fisherman that I knew in Beadnell, the village where I live, knew the seabed, not just as a geographical thing with hills and hollows and places where you fished and places where you didn't fish, but actually as a collection of stories. And they knew one another through those stories. They knew the place and they knew one another through those stories that went back generations and generations.
Yeah, thank you very much. And there'll be more from the Unthanks later in the show. But in the meantime, the beat goes on with John Burnside. I first came across John Burnside as a poet through his early collections, The Hoop and Common Knowledge. He struck me as a writer who could encapsulate private and public experience through a telling phrase or an image that wouldn't let you go. Since then, I've got to know his novels and stories and his incredibly moving memoirs, A Lie About My Father and Waking Up in Toy Town, and he can still create images that won't let you go. For The Verb, John's written a piece named after a James Brown song, a first for Radio 3, I reckon, but it begins, John, it begins not with the Godfather of Soul, but with some of Motown's finest. I remember crouching with my next guest in a fisherman's hut in Beadnell. We were recording an interview, and at one point we stopped talking so we could record the silence, which is what you have to do. And of course it wasn't silent. There was the sound of the sea, and the sound of the wind, and the sound of a bird, and somehow, and I'm not being fanciful here when I say that somewhere in the air, there was the sound of the language of the people who'd lived and worked there for generations. Katrina Porteous is a poet whose writing is rooted in this language, and her work has been a constant quest to preserve it, notate it, celebrate it, and widen its use. I'm very pleased to say that Katrina's got some new poems for us tonight. I'm delighted to say she's going to be accompanied by one of the best traditional musicians in the country, the peerless Alistair Anderson. So please welcome them now. So So, Katrina, I know that we're going to hear some new poems, but the first poem we hear is from an earlier collection, isn't it?
It is. It's from a book called The Blue Lonnon, and the book was given its title after a path that runs down through those very fishermen's huts that you were talking about, down to the sea. And it's blue because of all the mussel shells that were used generation after generation to pave the path. And those mussel shells came from the women of the fishing communities who used to bait the long lines, which had 1,400 hooks on them. And all those mussels had to be put on those hooks day after day after day. So that's where the Blue Lonnon got its name.
You're going to be reading a suite, as it were, of three poems for us tonight, and the other two are newer ones. And there's a kind of, there's a difference, isn't there, the older ones and the new ones. Tell us about, try and explain that difference, perhaps.
Well, Frank was talking just now about reading out loud, and I think all poetry is meant to be heard out loud. It's an oral tradition, really. It's for the voice. But there are some poems that you hear, I think, in a different way from others. And the poems which I've written about the fishing and about the place where I live, Beadnell, by the sea, are poems which are about community and about sharing in a room like this. But there are other poems which I've written, which I haven't published very much, which are much more intimate, I think, and less about community, but more about relationship with one person.
All right, well, let's hear the poems now, accompanied by Alistair Anderson.
Cold tonight, no moon. The frost crackles on limestone. I'm staring east from Beadnell Point beneath a sky so starry it steals my breath away. North to the plough, and near the horizon, Saturn, Sirius, Orion. I'm trying to name them, the Byre End hard, the Benty smooth, and the barnyards. The constellations of known ground, hills, hollows, rocks, sand. Knot by knot they wove that net. Charlie, Billy, Reeford, bent each to the next men's ground, the next. To Craster smooth, Boomer sooth hard, to Castwell skiers and south. Their marks, their grid of bearings, like the stars. Not just a map, but a mesh of stories, lit up where and what we are. Silence, the ebb's hush. What sails on in us the sea will take, and soon the dark, the stars. The grains of sand are not more numerous. This land, the fields, the continents, pegged out across the surface of the planet, less dense, less populous than this black sea, starry and fathomless. The whale. That January, the sea brought us a message. Monumental, big as a black bus, ribbed, rubbery, vulcanized, arched like a bridge. There it lay one morning, a sperm whale, making for another world, and perished. It looked old as the rock. It was mottled brick red and chalked pinkish white, like a fresco in a dark church. Its fluke was etched delicately greenish pink. Its side rose, a black slag heap, a hill of cinders, red oxides, oily residues, and clinker. We were drawn to it, huddled on the bank top, facing the horizon, hunched against the wind and cold. We stared and stared at it in wonder. Then the sea, with the noise of a great machine, rolled its dark bulk towards us, and graceful as weed, it raised one flipper like a sign. And the sea heaved, lifted its great weight, light as a breath or a gift. Here, take it. afterwards. Afterwards, the quiet is that of a stable. At night, horses shifting their bulk, their necks reaching to tug the sweet, strong hay from the rack, backs steaming gently, their good farmyard smell, sweat, excitement, soiled straw, their inward, quiet concentration, a kind of tension, a grave and lovely secret that withholds and withholds its meaning, although through the high barred window slants a gleam that might be a lantern, that might be a stranger arriving, or the old lost dear ones you know you are expecting.
Thank you very much to Katrina Porter.
Thank you.
Thanks to Katrina Porteous and Alistair Anderson. Thanks to Alex Horn, John Burnside. Thanks to Frank Cottrell Boyce. Thanks to all of you who's joined us here tonight at the Sage Gate said. Thanks, of course, to the Unthanks. We're going to launch us into the night with a testimony of Patience Kershaw. Now, this is another piece, Rachel, that's got deep historical roots. How did it become part of your repertoire?
It became part of our repertoire because a lady called Joyce McLeod used to sing it in our local folk club, and she always sang it with such kind of passion, and I was always amazed by it. And then when we were looking for new songs, I came across it again, and it's the real words of a 17-year-old girl who worked down the pit in Halifax that was taken for the Royal Commissions of on Children's Act in 1842, I think. And Frank Higgins turned it into a song. So there's something very humbling about her words and the way she tells her story.
And of course, it's another example of nominative determinism, except she wasn't very patient.
Yeah, patience, yes. Patience, well, she kind of is, I think. Yeah, she has that kind of... she accepts her lot, in a way.
All right, let's hear it.
Ask me, sir, to tell you how I spend the day. Well, in a cold black tunnel, sir, I hurry coves to earn my pay. The coves are full of coal, kind sir, I push them with my hands and head. It isn't ladylike, but sir, you've got to earn your daily bread. Push them with my hands and head, and so my hair gets worn away. You see this baldy patch I've got, it shames me like I just can't say. A lady's hands are lily white, but mine are full of cuts and segs. And since I'm pushing all the time, I've great big muscles on my leg. I try to be respectable, but sir, the shame, God save my soul. I work with naked, sweating men who curse and swear into the cold. The sight, the smell, the sound, kind sir, not even God could sense my shame. I say my prayers, but what's the use? Tomorrow will be just the same.
all the lads, they laugh at me, and so the mirror tells me why. Pale and dirty, can't look nice. It doesn't matter how I try. Great big muscles on my legs, a baldy patch upon my head. Lady, sir, oh no, not me, I should have been a boy instead. I praise your good intentions, sir, I love your kind and gentle heart, but now it's 1842 and you and me, we're miles apart. 100 years more will pass before we're walking side by side, so please accept my grateful thanks. God bless you, sir, at least you try.
The Unthanks ending The Verb, presented by Ian McMillan and produced by Victoria Shepherd. And we're back at Gateshead in an hour for our last essay of the week. The novelist Rebecca Jenkins explains...